show you how the world goes. AG's Convos, we gon' show you how the world goes. AG's Convos, we gon' show you how the world goes.
Take a look at the world we living in, it's falling apart. Put the glass, muscle, and guns, but don't show heart. Time to spark a conversation, let that be a lesson. Speak the truth in the booth, call it confession. Chains of oppression links us together. Any stormy weather, red, blue, black, or white, we can do better. It's AG Convos, pay attention. Make links, break chains, yeah, that's the mission. I said, yeah, that's the mission.
AG's Convos, we gon' show you how the world goes. AG's Convos, we gon' show you how the world goes.
What is up, everybody? I think we got music. I think we good to go. Welcome back to AG's Convos. We are back in the GB Entertainment studio. You got me, AG. I don't have my man, Kenny Smith. This is a special episode. Some craziness going on today. I do have my man, Tiger, with me, though. What's going on, Tiger?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Not bad at all, brother. How are you?
Oh, man, I can't complain. Life is good, man.
Life is good. You know, if you guys forgot, Tiger was the MC behind that Ted K episode. He's been super helpful to me. I'm just, I'm elated to have you in the building, man. We've had a long night tonight, haven't we?
Yeah, no homo.
right.
But,
trying to figure out this software situation. So just to get people up to date, it's, believe it or not, by the time you hear this, I don't think 12 hours would have passed. It's middle of the night, Saturday. We just kind of learning some stuff, man. You teaching me the ropes, brother, and I'm telling you I'm grateful. I've had a wild week of trying to get this technology up and running, and me and Ken were going back and forth trying to figure some stuff out. We finally got it down, and then things didn't go according to plan. So I want to put this out there that if it wasn't for my man Tiger, y'all would not have gotten an episode tomorrow. So shout out to Tiger for that. I appreciate you, bro.
No problem, man. Thank you for even having me, man. It's just I'm blessed to even be here, man.
You the blessing, brother. You know, you brought Ted to me. It's crazy how we met. We'll get into that in a little bit, but I just want to take a minute. You know, I like to try to put it out there what these episodes are going to be about. And what I'm learning over the course of this week is that sometimes things just don't go according to plan. You know what I mean? But that don't necessarily mean that things don't happen the way they're supposed to happen. So that's what I want to spend a couple minutes talking about. You know what I mean? You know how real that gets, man, when you're like, hey, I need this to be this way, and it just don't work out that way. And we get super disappointed with the way things turn out, but that don't necessarily mean they didn't go according to plan. You know what I'm saying? We get selfish sometimes. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But before I get into that, let's tell the people a little bit about you. Who is Tiger?
All right. So I wasn't always, per se, Tiger Woods. And it started off, the whole idea behind it started off, like, because when I was in grade school or when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I'm mixed. I'm half black and half Filipino.
Okay.
So Tiger Woods, he's half black, half, I'm not sure what kind of Asian he is, but he's half black, half Asian.
Right.
And so from when I was younger and stuff, people would always call me like Tiger Woods, just automatically. And so I was like, all right, but it never registered in my head. Right.
Right.
So my real name is Brian, and my last name starts with a C, so everyone used to call me BC,
mm-hmm.
And I was BC forever since I was like 10 years old.
BC, AG, I hear you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, I like to play golf, but I'm also, and I say this, I'm like kind of heavy in like the local Cleveland music scene.
Yeah, you are.
And everyone used to know me as BC, but it was kind of like, all right, I like to play golf. I don't know. I don't really look like Tiger Woods, but like, you know. And so it was just like a marketing and branding perspective.
Yeah, you tweaked it. You put a Z on the end.
Yeah.
You didn't want to steal the man's thunder. No. I get it. I appreciate that. I'm sure he did, too.
Absolutely. But right. I ain't going to lie. They were slipping, man, because, yeah, they have Tiger Woods with the S.com, but they didn't buy Tiger Woods with a Z.com.
Mm.
And just even with their, like, their LLCs and their trademark, they didn't trademark Tiger Woods with a Z, so...
Oh, is that right?
I'm sorry, y'all, but...
Did you do it?
I did.
Round of applause to my man, Tiger. He's taking that opportunity. Hey, branding is branding. It don't make a difference how you get it. You got to get it when you can. So
right.
I respect you for that. But you do golf. You do like to golf, at least. So that goes somewhere. That plays into the role a little bit. But you said you were in the local Cleveland scene. What do you mean by that?
Like, so I started off as a music producer, just making beats.
Who for?
At first, it was just like a hobby. So at 12 years old, you know, you don't really know what you're doing. You just sort of dive into it.
Right.
And time progressed, and I got, you know, you get better when you put in work.
That's right.
And whatever you do. And... So one night, on a random night, I remember it was the night of the Floyd Mayweather. I forget who he was fighting, but it was in like 2000, either 16 or 17.
Okay.
I was at Z1079, and they were hosting like an event to watch the fight.
Mm.
And, you know, there was a bunch of employees from 1079, like you usually hear on the radio.
All right.
I'm not going to say any names, but...
Sure.
One of the office assistants started talking to me about, you know, what I do. And I told her, like, yeah, I make beats and stuff. And she was like, okay, are you any good? I'm like, yeah, I'm the hottest in the city. And she was like, well, who are you working with from the city? I'm like, nobody. Why?
Drag them.
And then she kind of broke it down to me. Like, she started breaking down Zaytoven. And how he blew up and how a lot of other producers blew up. And she's like, why don't you start working with some of the local artists, you know, try and, you know, help them make it out of the city.
Right.
I'm like, you know what? Damn, you're right. I should. But before that meeting, when I make beats, I go by the name Hit Squad.
Hmm.
You know, it's just a production group that makes hit records.
Sure.
And, but it also tied into like the music scene because ultimately I'm trying to build like this image.
Right.
Like kind of like how Dre did with, you know, Easy and all those guys.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I thought the name fit pretty well.
Hit Squad?
Yeah, Hit Records. You know?
Help the squad.
Hit
Squad. I get it. It works. It works. And that's what got your name out there. All of a sudden, you start making some waves. Now, fast forward a little bit. Well, let me back up a lot a bit. Let's back up to when you were born. You were actually born to a guy in the industry. Your father's an artist.
Yes.
So did that play a role in you being interested in this?
That's a good question. And
I mean, you grew up listening to him do this music thing, right?
I say that's a good question because I didn't. And it's so crazy because I didn't meet my father until I was 18 years old.
Is that right?
That's right.
And interesting.
The whole backstory is just
Hey, crazy. Only tell it if you want to. You don't have to. Never uncomfortable on this show.
Right, right. But... So it's just so weird because, no, he wasn't around, and I didn't get inspiration to do music because he didn't per se have an influence on me.
Right.
But maybe it was a genetic thing because, you know, I ended up.
You are.
Yeah.
Right. Which kind of talks, it speaks a little bit into what we're talking about, right? Now, I'm going to guess you probably didn't go to high school coming out thinking, I want to get into the music industry. Maybe that wasn't the plan, but you know, the plan still worked out the way it was supposed to work out. Right. Do you remember what you wanted to be coming out of school?
Coming out of school, that's crazy. I know deep down for a long time, always wanted to do music. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know how to elevate it or right. try and get to, you know.
How to break in, right. break in the industry, yeah. But, you know, a lot of kids want to be doctors and police officers and construction workers, especially boys or thugs, you know, dope dealers, whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat, right? Yeah. But, you know, whatever the plan was, it worked out the way it was supposed to work out. You know what I mean? And what's interesting about what you said about that 107.9 conversation is it kind of tweaked something in you that you may not have. You maybe would have eventually gotten to it on your own, but it kind of sped up that process, right? Like, I really need to take this chance. I need to grab this bull by the horn, so to speak.
Absolutely. And the way it happened, it was just so uncanny. Like, you don't walk into, you don't go to, you know, attend a Floyd Mayweather fight and then, you know, expecting to, you know, hear what needed to be heard.
Right, right.
It was just
unorthodox, right. Unorthodox source. But you take it however you can get it. Right. You know what I mean? I think about how I came into this genre, if you will. This was never a part of my plan. You know what I mean? I never, ever would have believed that I would be doing what I'm doing right now. You could, if somebody had told me 15 years ago, you do realize you're going to end up in a studio one day, I'd have laughed at them. You know what I mean? If somebody had told me, you do realize that music and even education on the side of, you know, motivating others is eventually going to be a part of what you. I was a salesman. All I did was sell stuff. I mean, as far back as I can remember, I was selling something. I remember being in elementary selling penny candy, walking into second, third, fourth grade. I go take a quarter, buy 25 pieces of candy, come out with 50 cents.
Dang.
That was my thing. You know what I mean? So for as long as I can remember, I was selling something. So if somebody would have told me that I was going to be teaching somebody else or helping somebody else, I may not have ever seen that as my future, you know. But that's my future as I saw it. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the grand plan. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I guess that's kind of what I wanted to touch on. Like, you know, we find our way into these situations sometimes, whether we know it or not. These plans may have already been in place. Your father being who he was may have had a whole lot more to play in your role today than you realize. You know what I mean? A nature versus nurture kind of thing. You know what I mean? You might have been organically and I guess, predisposed to get into this industry, you know? And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But as we look at how you've kind of manifested that guidance that lady gave you, you know, fast forward to now, we've been talking a lot about how to get you into this space and help me do what I'm doing and vice versa. You know, I'm like, all right, this, you know, I met his father. His father's a cool guy. He definitely got some character to him. I love your dad, man. He really is a cool dude.
For sure.
You know, but. You are like wrist deep in this business. I mean, it ain't knee deep, it ain't ankle deep, it ain't even hip deep. You all the way up to your shoulders in this. You've been doing this for a while. How did you get your break? Because you've elevated past the local Cleveland artists.
Sure.
You've started to work with people that we know in the industry.
Right.
How did that happen?
It really, Twitter
wow.
helped me out so much, and I don't know if it's still current, but there's a search URL. You can go to search.twitter.com, and what I used to do is I would search keywords.
Hmm.
So, like, people would be like, send beats to my email, mm-hmm. or whatever their email. So I would just type in keywords, send beats. Gmail, and then a whole list will pop up of everyone that had those keywords in their tweets.
Really?
And I would filter through all of them and just, you know, look at people, see if they're actually who they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
And
blue check.
Blue checks definitely help. But this situation was just a gut feeling because this guy that who had posted the tweet, I could say his name's KJ Cavalli.
Okay.
And at the time, he didn't have a lot of Twitter followers, but what he had said just really caught my attention because it kind of like hinted at like in the studio, I'm a songwriter working with artists, major artists, send beats. And so I said, fuck it. What do I got to lose?
Right.
I'm not about to miss, you know, an opportunity not taken is an opportunity missed.
That's right.
And so, boom, sent him some beats. Like a week later, I heard back. He was like, yo, bro, the game just laid a verse down to one of your records.
Mm.
I'm like, man, get the fuck out of here, man.
Of all people, right?
I'm like, you for real? He was like, yeah, bro. Like, I was just in the studio with Kool and Dre writing songs. And we play, you know, the beat you sent to my email. I was playing them, and the game happened to be there. And next thing you know, the game laid a verse down. And, all right, this is hot. Who we gonna have feature on it? Meek Mill just happened to be in town that week.
Wow.
And so, boom, he hit up Meek Mill. Meek Mill came down. He did his thing. And that was, like, that was the, like, kind of major breaking point.
Yeah.
That's not to say, like, other things didn't happen before that. But that was, like, all right, I might be able to do something here with this.
That's when you elevate, right?
Right.
Wow. That's crazy. Now, when you get that word, what do you do? Do you go back to the lab and start making more beats and I can really do this? What do you do? Does the plan change in your head?
No. It makes you want to, like, work that much harder.
Right.
Because it's just like, damn, I done put in all these years and, all right, this is, all right, now I got to really get to work type.
Mm. I'm sure Twitter became your best friend at that point, though. Like, if one person picked it up, why couldn't five, right?
Right.
Wow. So you get Meek, you get Game, and do they start spreading the word? Do the guy, Cavalli, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, KJ Cavalli.
Did he start spreading the word? Hey, I got this hot kid out of Cleveland that's got some potential. I mean, how do you think it went from him to back to the East Coast? Because I know there's artists in the South, there's artists all over the country that's heard your stuff.
Right. It's so crazy. It just be like a timing kind of thing. Like, it just be timing sometimes. And, it was perfect timing on that one. Just the right people being in the room at the right time. It's just.
Just made it happen.
It happened.
That's amazing, man. Shout out to Cavalli for recognizing talent when he heard it. You know what I mean? That's beautiful. So, you know, when I think about kind of how things have progressed, now, for those listening that can't see it, because we're working on the video piece. We're still working on the video piece. It's coming. We're looking at the lab right now. It literally looks like it's under construction, which it is. But I say in a few days, it's going to be pretty astounding what we pull off in this space. But, you know, he is as unassuming in visuals as he is in vocals. You know what I mean? You saw this guy walking down the street, you'd never think anything of it. And to me, that's kind of the beauty of what we do. You know what I mean? We take people who nobody really assumes. It'd be different if you were draped in gold and this and that and trying to be flashy and driving the craziest cars. It'd be like, oh, I wonder what he does for a living. Oh, he makes beats. Okay, that makes sense. But, you know, you're like the next guy walking down the street. You know what I mean? And that's the beautiful part about, you know, giving everybody a chance. You know what I mean? Because you never know who you might pass up on. Because a chance not taken is a chance missed, right?
Right.
So, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to meet you, because if it wasn't for your father, I probably never would have crossed paths with you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And even when he brought you in here, I don't think you said 10 words the first time you walked through the door. And I was like, he either like super shy or he's filling the room. You know what I mean? And I kind of felt maybe it's a little bit of both. But I say all that to say that, you know, I've been like amazingly impressed by every single thing you've said and done since I met you. You know what I mean? The people you've brought around you, or you've made me aware of that are around you. Some of the stuff that I seen you do with this equipment and with this software, I'm like, damn, this dude can't be, he ain't 35. You know what I mean? He's significantly younger than me, but everything that I'm trying to touch, he didn't already let go of. Like, this is an amazing situation, and it's a huge opportunity for me to pick up on stuff that I've never really been exposed to. So I take that awareness, and I think about all the things that I'm trying to accomplish. Okay. And I think about the fact that I'm doing this from a perspective or from a place of knowledge and experience as it relates to business development and as it relates to coaching. And then you realize, but you're in a completely uncharted territory. This is not your genre. This is not your space. So where are you going to learn from? And I reach out to Mike in the Lava Room. Shout out to the Lava Room, because they got years and years of service in this industry. And I'm just soaking up all this information. I'm learning all of this craziness. But the stuff you taught me tonight, we couldn't figure out for the past 3 or 4 days. And you figured it out in like 2 hours.
Right.
You know what I mean? What do you think it is? And here's the reason I'm asking this. I got a 15-year-old son. People in my generation are quick to say, boy, you a kid, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Stay in the kids' place. Stay out of grown folks' business. And obviously, you're an adult, right? But there's almost this dismissive state of mind towards what the youth bring to the table. And what I'm coming to realize is the stuff that we kind of like have to work through, y'all just pick it up almost like with no effort. What are we missing as a generation as it relates to your generation bringing new ideas and new knowledge to ours, in your opinion?
That's a good question. And I think it's more of a, not an age thing, but a people thing. Hmm. And when I say that to say, you never know what someone might be bringing to the table as far as value, mm-hmm. no matter the age, young, old, and just being aware of what someone can bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And just not so much listening to what they say, but more so listening to their or seeing their actions.
Yeah.
Because, you know, actions will tell it all.
That's true.
But just being open-minded to people in general and trying to be more understanding. Because, you know, you never know what someone might be going through.
Absolutely.
And it's nice to be nice to people and not just to, you know, to get anything, but to, you know, to give out kindness like that, you know.
Absolutely.
So,
And, you know, the great part about that, you know, we're talking about you who are, I don't know if you want to tell me how old you are, but you can if you want to.
Yeah, 32.
So you're 32. You're more than 10 years younger than me. Your father is more than 10 years older than me. Two opposite directions. And what's crazy is the things, and I met your father on a whim, like happenstance. Somebody that I knew, Amir actually, shout out to Amir, introduced me to your father, who happened to be related to a guy that I grew up with, and not just any guy, the guy that actually designed my mural on my wall, Ron, that's your cousin, right?
I think it's my uncle.
Or uncle, one of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, cousin. It's your...
Ron.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Junior. Or the third. Yeah, he's the third.
Oh, the third? Yeah. Oh, yeah, then, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, it's crazy how these Cleveland... It just goes to show you how small a city Cleveland is, right? But all of these things, because I met your father back when we were remodeling the studio. He's like, man, I've been doing this forever. You know how he talks, right? Oh, he's chilling on something. Old school dude. He's like, man, I've been doing this forever. I can show you how to get this done. And he did. And he was like, you should meet my son. And I did. And he's like, oh, you know my nephew. Matter of fact, I do. You know what I mean? But again, it's like I'm trying to make sense of something, and all of these parts and pieces are just kind of coming together, and so many of them just happen to be connected to each other. But they're in so many different spectrums. There's a 94-year-old lady, a 94-year-old white Republican lady who I would have never even crossed paths with, primarily because she can barely get around like she used to. But she has been so influential in me building my nonprofit organization. The nonprofit organization was not a part of the plan. Right. But here we are. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to express to people, sometimes you just kind of have to let nature do what it do. Sometimes we have an idea, we have a plan. I got to do this. We got to make it work the way I think it's supposed to work. And it doesn't always go that way. But just because it don't go the way you want it to go, don't mean it failed. Sometimes you got to let nature run its course. Some things just have to happen the way they're supposed to happen, man. And I'm realizing that. And what I know about me is that, you know, this is going to come to a shocker to about four people. Everybody else probably believes it already, but I can be somewhat of a control freak as it relates to how things go in my life.
Right.
Like, I want things to go this way. I'm going to force them to go that way. You know what I mean? But I feel pretty confident in my decision-making process. So it's like, oh, I know this will work if I do it this way. And a lot of times it do, but sometimes it don't. You know what I mean? And I am humble enough to say, okay, something that didn't go the way I wanted to go didn't fail. I just realized that that wasn't the way it was supposed to go. The lesson to me is learning to change direction. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And what I pick up from people like y'all is, you know, you don't really know the direction. You're out of your element. So when you decide to take a leap of faith out of your element and do something that you don't understand, you kind of have to let go of the wheel.
Yes.
And trust the process and trust the source, which to me is God. Yes. Trust the source that are putting the people around you that's going to get you where he wants you to be, not where you think you want to be or where you feel like you should be. So I'm letting that happen. I've decided to kind of let my hair down, which I don't have, and just let that happen. You know what I mean? So in that process, here you come. Now, go ahead. I know you got something to say.
No, I think you hit it on the head, man. And it's like, you could say God or that you know, but until you actually experience it,
yeah,
like how we met, it was like kind of like wow, like this was really supposed to happen, like
right.
The way it did.
Yeah, and I'm excited about what comes next. You know, Ken is my right hand in a lot of this process, but we got lives, we got responsibilities. And we can't always be anywhere, you know what I mean? And, you know, Mike has been a godsend in the sense that he creates a lot of opportunity for me to diversify who I am and what I'm doing. And he brings a lot of credibility and notoriety to what I'm doing. That's Mike of the Lava Room, in case y'all don't know who I'm talking about. But I still have to make certain moves happen on my own. Right. In their absence, in addition to their presence. And it's like, man, I need more pieces. You know what I mean? So the idea of you being on the team really like relieves a lot of anxiety for me. Cause it's like, all right, I ain't got to worry about whether this guy know what he's doing. I ain't got to wonder whether or not he's competent. If he can speak to people, I don't have to question his value, what he might bring to the table, what he adds to the process. So, you know, you and I have been talking a lot about, hey, where can I fit into this to make your life a little easier and vice versa? Mm-hmm. And these things are kind of starting to show themselves. And I'm feeling real good about where we're headed, man. How you feeling about where we're headed?
Man, words can't even describe the feeling. It's like a knowing, like a deep understanding of, like, all right. You know, like you said, let your hair down and just let it happen. How, you know, some people call them God, but the way it was supposed to happen.
I like that you said that, because everybody don't call him God, but we're still talking about the same entity, right?
Yes.
At least I believe that. It sounds like you do too. See, this is the kind of thing we're talking about, man. How we just gel. We get it. You know, and that's huge, because I'm a very, I won't say standoffish, but, you know, I can be guarded when it comes to the trust factor. But that's almost unfair, because I expect people to trust me with a lot of information. And there's value to both of us being vulnerable. You know what I mean? And I encourage people to be vulnerable, but I struggle in doing it myself. And there's a lot of people who have been, I hope the right word isn't hurt, but there's a lot of people who have been compromised in their relationship with me because I've asked them to do things that I don't necessarily do myself. Mm. And in situations like this, I start to realize that, you know, everything that you want from somebody is a two-way street, including vulnerability, including trust, including, you know, confidence.
Yes.
You got to show it to them as much as you ask them to show it to you. And I say all that because, again, that just wasn't the plan. You know what I mean? This is not the way this was intended to play itself out. So, you know, the goal is to have a plan, to put your plan into action, to execute that plan to the best of your ability. But the lesson is to understand that that plan can fail if you don't adjust when it don't go according to plan, when it doesn't go as expected. So mm-hmm. I am constantly trying to improve myself so I can always be the best version of myself towards whatever the plan that I'm unaware of actually is. So, you know, we at a crossroads right now where, you know, we learning each other's strengths and weaknesses. We're trying to make sure everybody's eating. You know what I mean? You bring certain things to the table that I couldn't do for myself. One of which is a generation that don't necessarily speak the same language I speak. You 32, I'm 44 in a couple days. You know what I mean? Yeah, a lot of people don't believe it, but I'm an old man. But I'll be 44 in a couple of days, and it's like, wow, you know, how does a 44-year-old with a business mind appeal to a 25-year-old with an artist mind?
Mm.
He probably finds somebody that's closer to that age group to do that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But there's a lot of strengths in what I can bring to an individual like you or an individual like them.
A lot.
So I'm hopeful that we can utilize each other to bridge that gap. You know what I mean? How do you see that playing out?
That's a good question. I can't see the future, but I know that we're on the right path.
Yes, sir.
And whatever, you know, whatever we plan on doing is going to continue to grow.
We will grow with it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Together. And watch it become what it's supposed to become.
Right.
And what I feel or think it is going to be, it's going to be some big stuff.
Right.
It's going to be big.
Who do you think benefits the most from a situation like the one we're putting together? And here's what I mean by that. There's the artist, right? There's the producer, the guy that's trying to find the artist. There's the service provider, the guy that's trying to help the artist. There has to be a collaborative effort between multiple pieces in order for any of us to individually be successful. We kind of feed off of the success of the others. Mm-hmm. And Ted said that when he was here, right? Build a team around your ambitions and around your missions. So I feel like there's this business sense that I can bring to somebody who really just kind of acts from an emotional perspective. You know, I just love the feeling that comes with me performing or being in front of a mic or being in front of a crowd. And I get that. And if we only pursue that feeling, you know, before you know it, you're in a subway singing with an open can. You know what I mean? Because that's your high. Your high is interacting with those people. Yeah. But if you have something bigger than that, we can make it something better than that. And in the same sense, it's like I can produce beats all day long. But if somebody ain't putting that beat to a track, or if somebody ain't putting that, you know what I mean? There's so many parts and pieces that come along with it. When you think about our collaborative effort, who do you think is the right target for us to pursue with our goals? Is it the artist? Is it the client, the person that's going to listen to the artist? Where do you think we need to push this?
I think it's all of that. And everyone, it's how you approach it, maybe.
Okay.
Just an opinion.
So how do you approach it?
Honestly, I don't have the, like, specific answer to that, but, like, just an opinion.
Yeah.
Everyone working in harmony towards a goal.
What's the right goal, though? In your opinion.
That's a good question. What is the goal?
Yeah, what is the goal? What is the goal for? Okay, here's why I'm asking. There's a whole generation of people that you've already been engaged with. They're looking for something. They're looking for something that we may or may not be able to provide.
Right.
So in this environment, with this initiative that you're becoming a part of, if you were in charge, what's the goal that you would set to actually reach that generation of people, to reach that clientele of people?
Man, that's a good, oh man. I guess the goal would be to try to, I can't change the world, but, you know, while we're still here, it'd be nice to make, you know, a positive impact.
Yes, sir.
By helping and putting energy into helping others as much as possible.
And I think that's exactly where my head would go with this. You know what I mean? And we speak on this pretty often. You know, we can't make our mission about the money. We can't make it about the fame. We got to make it about the impact and the change. You know, just a couple, yesterday now, which was Friday, we went to the Alicia Keys concert, me and my wife.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my goodness. I have been to a lot of concerts in my life, and I have seen a lot of performers. And prior to last night, Babyface killed it when I saw him on stage. I've seen Lauryn Hill. I've seen, in my opinion, some of the best to ever walk on the stage. What she did last night was mind-boggling. If you've never seen Alicia Keys in performance and she's coming to your town, it's worth it. It's worth being late on your rent if you have to. I'm telling you, it was such a moving performance. You know what I mean? But she said it. She said, you know, one of the things that Prince, who was a huge inspiration to her, she said, one of the things he taught me was to maintain an intimacy with the audience. I don't care how many people in the room. When I'm performing for you. I'm performing to you. I'm performing for the sake of your happiness. Mm. And everything else is kind of off the table. So I feel like in everything we do, and we have to be doing in service to somebody other than ourselves. So I feel like, just like you just said, you know, I can't do this for me. You know what I mean? There's enough opportunities for a person to be fulfilled in their lives through mediocre things. You know what I mean? But there's nothing like being fulfilled through service.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I'm really happy to hear you say that. You know, you didn't say the goal was for me to become the next Timbaland. You didn't say the goal was for me to become the hottest name in music. You said the goal was for me to make people's lives better. Man, that's a big deal. So I'm super happy to hear that. What do you feel like you need to do next? I mean, you've got big artists to sing on your tracks. You've met some huge names. I mean, we don't have to get into a lot of those, but, you know, Meek and, you know, that was in the game. That was just kind of how it started. You didn't kind of take off from there. So what's next? What's next for Tiger?
What's BC? Oh, man. just staying on track, especially with this feeling, and just, you know, keep putting in more work, taking time, and always learning new things, keeping in mind that, you know, I don't know everything, and I can't do everything, and working with, you know, together with other people, and meeting new people, going new places, trying new things, even failing in the process and learning from the failures to you know, make sure I don't make those same mistakes again.
Right.
And, but also, you know, yeah. Yeah, that's, I don't know, that's...
Just keep climbing, right?
Keep climbing, keep going, and...
Keep pushing yourself, keep challenging yourself. That's, you know, in my coaching, in my consulting, in my counseling, in my mentorship, you know, and I said it, I think, a week or two ago, you know, if you have a journey, if you have a destination on the journey that you're on, then you're probably shortchanging yourself. I don't have a destination. I just know what direction I want to move in. If I had a destination, I would have got there a long time ago because I would have pushed myself so hard to get to that point. So what I like to do is I like to set these goals and say, this is what I really want to accomplish. And when I see that target coming into full view, I kick the football down the field. I move it a little bit further away. I add something to it. I add another pressure to it. I challenge myself to build upon that before I ever even get there. So when I do surpass that spot, I've already won. But I've won with an agenda. I've won with a goal of getting somewhere further. And as soon as I start to approach that, I do it again. That's my ongoing cycle. So with that mentality, I don't feel like I'm ever going to get to where I'm trying to go. Because where I'm trying to go has to be unattainable. Right. It has to be the next move. Otherwise, I'm going to get there.
Right.
And I've done that before. You know, I've had a long career in the business world. And when I got to where I wanted to be and I didn't forecast where I wanted to go next, I became stagnant. And it became so mundane that the win that I saw in that role so many years earlier felt like a burden. It's like, damn, this is all I ever wanted. And I got it. And I don't even want it no more because I didn't really want anything after that. I didn't think I was going to get it as fast as I did, though. And that was the catch-22. Everybody told me that what I was working towards, what my plan was going to take decades for me to get. They told me, hey, look, you can get there, but this is like the 15, 20-year target for where you're trying to go. I got there in like six.
Dang.
So I was like, shit, that was easy. You know what I mean? And I just... so. At that point, I just wanted to be the best at that I could be.
Right.
But I literally told myself when I started the process, that's the role I was going to retire from. Wow. Thinking it was going to take me 20 years to get there.
And look, you did it in...
I did it in six. So it's like, crap, okay. I didn't say it. This is the role I'm going to retire from. So what? I'm 26 years old, 28 years old. What do I do for the next 25 years. I ain't retired. 30 years. I ain't retiring no time soon.
No.
So it's like, how the heck do I pull this off? You know what I mean? And about 10 years later, I'm like, yeah, I got to find something else. But I wasn't prepared for nothing else because I wasn't preparing for nothing else the whole time I was doing that. Mm. So, you know, that's the lesson that life has taught me, to always continuously prepare yourself for something bigger than what you have. So for somebody who has achieved as much as you have in 32 years, what's next for Tiger? That's why I asked that question. What are you trying to achieve at this point?
And the sky's the limit. That's all I can say. I mean, it's going to be big. Whatever it is, it's going to be big, big.
Right.
But it's just wait on it.
Well, that the coach in me and the supporter of you and the partner, if you will, and in your mission says that we need to start to define that. Because I can tell you, as a coach, and through my trials and errors and my learning cycle, that if we don't put pen to paper and make some of those goals definitive, we'll run right past them. Mm. And we'll never embrace them as being wins. That's how you miss things like, oh, yeah, I guess I probably should have answered that phone call. I guess I probably should have made that a priority. You know what I mean? But I wasn't focused on that because that wasn't the mission. And that's why, you know, GB Entertainment was meant to do what it's doing. Let's slow down a little bit. Let's slow the artist down. I need to put out. I need to put tracks out. I need to do this. I need to make music. I need to make music. For what? What are you going to do with it? If you don't have a goal, if you don't have a plan for what comes with that product, then what was the purpose? You spend a lot of money on these studios. You're going to spend all this money to make something and then not have a plan on what to do with it next? No, we can't do that. I can't let you do that to yourself. I can't take your money just because you're willing to give it to me. I got to take your money knowing that you're about to double it up.
You're right.
So let's build a plan around that. So that's the part I'm excited about, because with you in this atmosphere, I feel like I have new directions that I can go in, stuff that I had never considered before. You know, and with the engagement that we can now bring to the table with a younger audience, with a different mindset, with a little more creativity, it's like, yeah, the sky really is the limit. You know what I mean? So
really is.
I'm happy to have you around here, man. You know, I don't want to belabor you too much. This is a Saturday night, you know, but we workaholics, clearly.
Yes.
You know, and I appreciate you coming in and doing what you did. Do you want to add anything? Is there something you need me to know before we hang up here?
I just want to say thank you very much, you know, and I'm so glad that we met.
Absolutely. Same here, brother. You got any social media handles you want folks to become conscious of? You don't have to, but...
Yeah. TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's all at It's Tiger Woods with a Z.
What has the Z? The Woods or the It's?
The Woods.
Gotcha. It's Tiger Woods, BC.
Yes, sir. Shout out to my man, AG, man. And shout out to the Live Room Recording Studios. And shout out to my father. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for making this happen, Pops.
Yes, sir.
He a clown, though. And he a golfer, too, though.
He is.
So, you know, it's all in your blood, man. You can't get away from it. Sure. You can't get away from it. Hey, but I really do appreciate you coming out and doing this. I want to make this short so we can get back to life. I still ain't ate dinner yet, so I don't know about you, but I get hangry and it gets bad. So thank you again for taking the time to come and teach me something new, man. I'm looking forward to working with you in the future. And I thank everybody for listening in to this episode. This is AG's Convos.
AG's and we Convos. We gonna show you how the world goes. AG's Convos. We gonna show you how the world goes.